United Airlines versus the United Retired Pilots. Mr. Mazza.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is James Mazza. I represent United Airlines, Inc. Your Honors, this appeal involves two relatively straightforward issues. The first issue is whether this appeal is ripe for adjudication by this court. The answer to that question is yes, it is indeed ripe. The second issue goes to
I don't even understand the concept of appeals being ripe as opposed to cases being ripe. If a dispute is not ripe, then what the district court should have done is vacate the bankruptcy judge's decision. There is, so far as I can tell, no such thing as an appeal being ripe. The only question is whether the appeal is timely. And, of course, that's what the Supreme Court held in United States against Jose, yet another case that this large group of high-priced lawyers did not find, a recent unanimous decision of the Supreme Court saying an appeal may never be dismissed as unripe, that the whole concept of ripeness has nothing to do with appeals.
Your Honor, that case was not cited, but we believe
I understand that. That's why I'm complaining. I mean, this case is a slam dunk based on Supreme Court precedent that nobody has cited to us.
We understand that, Your Honor, and we believe that this court does have jurisdiction to decide this case, and the district court did make a mistake when it dismissed it as not being ripe. So that would bring us to the substance of this case, and the substance here is whether United should have been required by the bankruptcy court to make a preferential non-qualified benefit payment to retired pilots on account of a pilot pension plan that will be terminated effectively December 30, 2004. That's 10 months before the non-qualified payment here.
Assuming that we leap in and resolve the merits as opposed to sending it back to the district court, does anything about the dispute we were just having between the termination in December and the termination in June matter? The payment at issue here is for October 2005, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And October 2005 is obviously after the agreed termination date. So I don't understand why these payments didn't stop at the end of June 2005, because without regard to whether the date was set earlier than the end of June, it was never going to be later than the end of June. That had already been resolved by the agreement, which this court had enforced in earlier litigation. So I don't understand why anybody is arguing about payments for any period after the agreed end of the termination plan.
Your Honor, that's
the agreed end of the pension plan, sorry.
Correct, Your Honor, and that's the position United is positing, that it would be indeed an absurd result for the pilots union to claim that the retired pilots would be entitled to payments beyond the agreed termination date, because, as Your Honor pointed out, the termination date is the only issue that's alive in the pilot plan termination proceeding that was just before this court. And therefore, we believe that that's a perversion of the collective bargaining agreement under which the pilots union is claiming United's purported obligation to make.
You do want to be a little careful of that. United has not actually been the most faithful exponent of keeping the collective bargaining agreement untouched throughout this bankruptcy.
Your Honor, I wouldn't say that United has made any unilateral modification to the collective bargaining agreement. So we believe that the deal with the pilots union was that there would be this no-fight clause that this court had upheld when...
I guess I'll have to ask your adversary this, but when Judge Darrow was considering the payments from November through January, which are involved in this tail-end litigation that we have stayed until the outcome of this one, was there any argument made in support of these post-June payments other than the argument that by failing to appeal the interlocutory order in February 2005, United had waived or forfeited its right to contest these payments?
Your Honor, yes, the appellees have argued that we did waive our argument in connection...
I'm asking if there was some other argument. I know perfectly well that they made that argument. That's what persuaded Judge Darrow.
Mm-hmm. That's correct, Your Honor. There wasn't another argument that I can recall that appellees had made as to why the payments subsequent to October, November, that would be the November, December, January payments,
right,
would not be due.
Of course, that argument is also controlled by another recent and unanimous decision of the Supreme Court that no one has cited. It's United States against Clark.
Your Honor, we would say that there would be a mistake there, but again, we think the rationale overall for the agreement we had with the pilots union here is that because the October payment is 3 months after the June agreed to termination date, it should not be paid, and therefore the November, December, January payments as well should not be paid either. I would note that the recent decision that did come down from Judge Dara in taking into account United's contractual argument as to why it would not have to pay upon exiting from bankruptcy, that is in February of 2006, Judge Dara did also note that even though Judge Lefkoe had entered the final termination order in connection with the pilot plan in June of 2006, that the pilot plan did indeed terminate during the bankruptcy case, and that was a date of December 30th, 2004. So again, we believe that taking all that into account, that the position that is posited by the appellees here should not lead to a payment.
By the way, has United filed an adversary proceeding to recover from the retirees' payments for periods before June 2005, or for that matter, in the period July, August, September?
Your Honor, United did actually file a motion for reconsideration of the bankruptcy court's order.
That's not my question. My question is whether it's filed an adversary proceeding to recover what it's paid out.
United did not pursue an adversary proceeding to recover what it has paid out. For practical purposes, we believe that we were correct when this issue originally came up before the bankruptcy judge in February of 2005, but because of what the situation was in United's bankruptcy case at that time, whereas we didn't have deals with the other unions as to United's plans for exiting from bankruptcy, that pursuing that interlocutory appeal at that time would not be the wisest course of action or most beneficial course of action for the estate. And so therefore, we did not go forward with that opportunity at that time. But the appellees would try to penalize United for not doing that, and United realizes that those payments have been made out, and as a practical matter, recovering them now, just the cost of having to make individual suits against some 3,000 pilots would not be something that economically would bring a return for the estate, and that's really a sunk cost at this point. So I'd just like to just sum up and reserve some of my time for rebuttal based on the arguments that the appellees would make and reiterate the position that this October payment is beyond the agreed termination date that the parties have set in the collective bargaining agreement, and therefore it would be absurd to uphold the bankruptcy court in requiring United to make this preferential payment to retired pilots.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mazza. Mr. Cariglio?
Good morning again, Your Honors. With respect to the October 2005 non-qualified pension payment, well, first of all, we're talking about non-qualified contractually obligated pension benefits as opposed to the qualified component of the plan that was the subject of the PBGC case.
Yeah, let me just restate the question I asked of United's counsel. Is there any reason independent of this forfeiture argument why the payments should continue after the end of June 2005, which was the agreed termination date? Had the PBGC never shown up with a request for an earlier termination date, the pension plan would have terminated at the end of June 2005, and these payments would have ended. So why should the PBGC's request for an earlier termination date cause these payments to be extended?
Well, there absolutely is a reason, Your Honor. It's the United ALPA agreement. And also, the second point I'll make is that there was no agreed end to the pension plan. The retired pilots certainly never agreed to attend
such
thing.
We've been through that. This court has been through that. This court said that the agreement between ALPA and United was valid and binding, and the pilots had no right to protest it. So
if I may follow
we're
up,
there.
If I may, I agree with you, Your Honor. We are there, and United has referred to that agreement as the one of the cornerstones of their bankruptcy. And they cannot just selectively apply the provisions of the agreement that they think favor them without applying all the provisions. There's a provision in the ALPA agreement that's been approved by all the courts, including this one, that says that the pilot plan shall remain in full force and effect until there is a court order declaring that the company has met the requirements for plan termination under 29 U.S.C. 1341. That is the language that Judge Weedoff seized on. It is an independent reason, independent, Your Honor, of the waiver argument that we've made, that they didn't appeal the February 2005 order. And the court should keep in mind that this ALPA agreement was negotiated and executed by United and ALPA in January 2005 with United's knowledge of the pending PBGC case and the PBGC's requested December 2004 date. But the ALPA agreement did not provide for any kind of retroactive termination. It said full force in effect. It was a benefit that was post-petition that was conferred on these people, the retired pilots, knowing that they were going to be losing a great deal if the plan was terminated. And this was a way, in the same ALPA agreement that United has championed in front of this court on prior occasions, knowing that those benefits needed to be paid and that the plan was to be kept in full force and effect until it was actually terminated by a court, which did not occur until June of 2006. That, Your Honor, is the independent reason why these payments should be made. The recognition that these retired pilots were going to lose a great deal, the recognition that they were giving a great deal up, and United itself came into the courts and said that this ALPA agreement was in the best interest of the bankruptcy estate. And if it's in the best interest of the estate, the whole agreement should be enforced, including this provision on continuing these non-qualified payments. And I do not believe that Judge Weedoff abused his discretion in any way with respect to requiring that these payments be made. And the October 2005 payment should have been made. And since Your Honor's asked about it, Judge Weedoff has also ruled that November, December, and January should have been made. He cut it off as of United's exit from bankruptcy in February of 2006. And while we have disputes about that, the fact of the matter is that there's absolutely no question that this agreement was supposed to be in full force and effect through the life of the bankruptcy. So that, Your Honor, is the independent reason that this order of Judge Weedoff should be affirmed, and these people who have lost so much should receive these payments. No termination until June of 2006, nothing in the ALPA agreement to allow for any kind of retroactive termination.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Krieger.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Saccotti?
Your Honor, we agree with counsel for United that the matter here is straightforward, but the straightforwardness is not on the grounds that United counsel has stated, because now they are entering into contract arguments that they didn't make in February of 2005. Let me answer Your Honor's question. If, in fact, there had been an agreed termination, the PBGC and United had agreed to a termination of the qualified plan as of June 30th, 2005, there is no question that there would have been not only no October payment, but no July, August, or September payment either. The difficulty arose because the PBGC did not agree to a date with United. The PBGC wanted to continue to litigate based on its earlier filed complaint. In February of 2005, in the absence of any colorable contract interpretation argument by United, United was going to suspend the payments based on bankruptcy principles, not based on a contract interpretation argument at all. The judge, Judge Weedoff, interpreted the contract. He could not have interpreted the contract if United had made a colorable argument under the agreement itself, because then the parties would have had to have gone to the mandatory process under the Railway Labor Act, the System Board of Adjustment. Because United made only bankruptcy arguments, Judge Weedoff construed the letter of agreement between ALPA and between ALPA and United to require United to maintain the pilot plan in full force and effect until the qualified plan was terminated in fact. Judge Weedoff's order said that United is compelled to maintain the monthly non-qualified payments until the plan is terminated under applicable law, meaning under ERISA, under the Title IV procedures for the termination of the plan, and that could occur only with an order of, in this case, the district court, Judge Lefko, as of June 30th, 2006.
That I don't understand. Companies terminate their pension plans all the time. They're allowed to do it unilaterally. And, of course, the agreement between United and ALPA said that all of the employees' pension plans would be terminated as of June 30th, unless, of course, the PBGC managed to win an earlier date for the pilot's plan.
The agreement between the PBGC and United provided for that, Your Honor. The agreement between ALPA and United provided that United could agree to no date earlier.
Earlier than June 30th.
Yeah. Right. So the case is straightforward in our view because United never appealed the February 05 order.
But why? You certainly make a lot of this, and Judge Dara did in his decision that the briefing on which has now been stayed, but I just don't comprehend why that matters. The Supreme Court has said, it has actually said multiple times in this century and probably in the 19th century as well, that a litigant's failure to appeal from an interlocutory order never, absolutely never, precludes any argument on appeal from the final decision. And we see this, of course, all the time. A district judge enters a preliminary injunction. An appeal could be taken but isn't. But that doesn't forfeit the litigant's ability to make all its arguments on appeal from a permanent injunction.
Two answers, Your Honor. First of all, in bankruptcy, of course, there's a more flexible concept of finality, and they certainly could have appealed. That's correct. The order, but they didn't appeal, and the order was binding on them.
That's the premise of decisions such as Clark, that an appeal could have been taken earlier. But the rule, this rule has been around, I dare say almost since the Republic was founded, is that you never have to appeal from an interlocutory decision. And an appeal from the final judgment always brings up all issues in the case, whether or not the earlier appeal was taken.
Your Honor,
this is such a bedrock principle of appellate jurisprudence that I don't understand this line of argument at all.
Well, Your Honor, there's no final order. If the February order wasn't final, the October payment order wasn't final either. But there's another independent ground which I don't think has been mentioned yet, and that's Section 1113F of the Bankruptcy Code. And this is what underlay Judge Weedoff's decision in February 2005. United could not unilaterally change the ALPA agreement. Judge Weedoff found, again, based on no contract argument at all by United, based solely on bankruptcy principles, that under the letter of agreement, United had foregone whatever discretion it thought it had to stop those payments based on bankruptcy principles and maintain the A plan in full force and effect until the qualified plan was terminated. United's failure to make those payments would have violated Section 1113F of the code because it would have been a unilateral change to the ALPA agreement. And that is the principle which bound United not only from February based upon Judge Weedoff's earlier order, but through October, because nothing changed as of October vis-a-vis the fact that the pilot plan had not terminated in fact. The pilot plan did not terminate in fact until Judge Lefkoe's order, and therefore under Section 1113F and the agreement as construed by the bankruptcy court, and once again not challenged, but in effect precluded United from making a unilateral change.
Thank you, Mr. Cotty. Mr. Mazza, how much time does he have? 6 minutes?
Your Honor, just a few points to respond to in Apelli's arguments. First, with respect to the retired pilots, their attempt to try to enforce the ALPA agreement really shouldn't stand. This court had approved the ALPA agreement and had made statements as to whether The retired pilots would have third-party beneficiary rights to the ALPA agreement, and we don't believe that they do. There was no express statement as to their rights as a third-party beneficiary, so their arguments really should be disregarded to the extent they're trying to enforce a purported obligation under the ALPA agreement. And going to the contractual argument as to whether United has this obligation to continue to pay non-qualified pension benefits after the agreed-to termination date, there's no explicit statement that says United has to pay non-qualified pension benefits. What is stated is this full force and effect clause in the CBA, but we believe, as stated in our original argument, that that clause has been taken beyond all logical bounds when the entire agreement is taken into consideration and understood that ALPA is only contesting the termination date of the pilot plan. Moving on to the statement by ALPA's counsel that there may not be a final order here, we believe that there is now a final order because the pilot plan has indeed been terminated. That has brought finality to what the treatment of non-qualified pension benefits would be in the case. And in fact, United had also reached a settlement with retired pilots as to the treatment of non-qualified pension benefits in the bankruptcy case to the extent they're treated as unsecured claims, which is what United's position is with respect to those claims. ALPA's counsel also had brought up an argument that United was obligated under Section 1113F to not unilaterally modify the collective bargaining agreement during the course of the case. That argument is also something that the bankruptcy court did not actually base its decision back in February 2005 on Section 1113F. The judge had considered the 1113F cases, but had specifically said he need not rely on 1113F because he went under what he thought was a post-petition obligation that United had entered into to maintain this non-qualified pension plan until a termination order was entered. So that was the basis for the decision. 1113F had never come up. But if it had, United's arguments were that Section 1113F does not create a super priority for a debtor to take what are pre-petition obligations under a collective bargaining agreement and make those into administrative claims. The case law is the vast majority of cases hold that 1113F does not create that type of super priority. There's one case from the Sixth Circuit that has really only been confined to the Sixth Circuit, and that's Unimet, where a super priority was created. But we don't believe that that case is correct. And the better reasoned cases are that pre-petition claims do not convert themselves into administrative claims just because they're part of a collective bargaining agreement. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you to all the counsel.